That's where we as an agent can come in and add value.
So the big question is, what are top agents doing to absolutely crush it in real estate, grow their teams and add more transactions year over year while so many struggle? To get the answers, we interview top real estate agents to learn their secrets to success. Listen, we believe every agent should make a minimum of $100,000 per year, and we're on a mission to make this happen. We've already helped over 100 agents achieve this with our coaching. So if you want to fast track your business growth, get to your first $100,000 in GCI or add another $100,000 in GCI using social strategies, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com, or you can just click the link in the description below. Also, just make sure to follow us, hit that subscribe button, and if you get any value from this at all, please tell a friend and leave us a review. My name is Andrew Dunn.
And my name is Peter Michael. Welcome to Elite Agent Secrets.
Speaking of getting that 10 grand commission, your second topic, which I know is going to be such a juicy one for our listeners, which is about actually competing in this market. Like, how the fuck do you get the deals in 2022? How are you closing them? How are you closing so many? So breakdown, that is your second secret to success, how you are competing in 2022. Let's have it.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, it's tough. You know, it's the toughest year we've ever had. And I think the perception with the public is we're just killing it, right? We're walking around the streets and people are throwing stacks of money at us. And, you know, you guys are just, you know, truth is, and you guys know this, and I think anyone that's going to be watching this probably knows this, we're working 3, 4, 5 times harder than we ever have. And getting,
yeah, but the market is so good, Joe. Isn't it great? Shouldn't I go get licensed right now?
Oh man.
Properties are selling left and right.
Oh, they are. You know, if I was 100% a listing agent, yeah, I probably wouldn't even have time for this because I'd be sitting on a yacht somewhere talking to, you know, whoever. But truth is, we got buyers, right? And we got sellers that want to be buyers. And it's just a challenge. And I've tried every creative thing. You know, I don't know if we're doing plugs on this, but there's a couple companies, I can't even use them here in Pennsylvania. And I've tried to work this model, but we have a transfer tax that is just crushing this model. But I sat down with the bank and I was going to get a line of credit to buy my people's homes to free up their equity and debt to income ratios to go buy. And they would just stay there until we found something. Pennsylvania, I'm not sure if you're familiar with being from Philly, but we have a huge transfer tax. It's one of like 13 states that has a transfer tax. So it really kind of crushes that model. But, you know, there's a place in Texas, Zoom Casa, you know, they're doing this. And then of course there's a fee, you know, but you're, as an agent, you could sit down and you could say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I know you're living in this 3-bedroom, 1-bath, small 1200 square foot home with 9 kids, 2 dogs and a bunch of garbage, and you need a bigger home, but you can't do it, right? Because most people need, they would list, but it would sell instantly. So there's some companies out there that are literally buying the home. You're getting your equity, you're getting your debt to income freed up, and now you could just look. But the challenge is, you know, I think a huge percentage of our buyers are millennial and boomers, right? And they're either moving up or moving down, and there's just no inventory to do that. So that's really the problem. So one, you got to get creative. So that's something you may want to look into. Unfortunately, it's not going to work for us here in Pennsylvania. But some tips on 2022 and what's working here in Pittsburgh. You got to be urgent. You got to be urgent with your team. You got to be urgent with your clients. You know, you got somebody that's like, hey, house just went up. Let's go look at it next Monday. You're like, what? Are you crazy? Like,
you got to get in that call right now today. You got to be there in the last 5 minutes because that's already has a pending offer already on it.
So you got to do that because I think, and one thing that's worked out really well for us, and this is going away too. So this might be a little bit of a late tip. You know, don't wait for the highest and best multiple offer. You know, I have a lot of people that are like, oh, we're just going to wait till they announce, you know, the highest and best due on Monday or whatever, Sunday night. Well, we've gone in and we've actually hit them. We call them Mike Tyson punch them in the mouth offers where, you know, it's, you know, a great, great offer. But we want an answer in 2 hours. And that worked a lot. I will tell you that it's starting to kind of not work as much because the sellers are opting to pass on this amazing offer and then, you know, kind of wait out the weekend. And it's been working. I've been tracking it. So there is some incentive for the sellers not to take this, but I would still try it. Why wait to get into a multiple offer?
Talk to us a little bit about what that Mike Tyson offer looks like. What are we talking about? Short contingency periods, inspection, no contingencies on financing. Like, what is a Mike Tyson offer for anybody listening? Well,
if you're going to be a jerk and be pushy and expect a two-hour answer, you know, when these sellers have been foaming at the mouth for 3 months to list this thing, you know, well, I tell my sellers, I'm actually, I'm a pretty non-violent guy, but I want to see fist fights. I want to see wrestling matches in your front yard to win this property. So on the other token, you know, you got these sellers that are just waiting for all this. And for them to actually take an offer, a first offer, it's got to be amazing. So here's what that looks like. Just a scenario. The national average for median home price is $400K. First time ever that it's now over that national 400. So let's just say we have a $400,000 home. And you know, they want to run comps. Who cares what comps are? You know, this is day one. If you want the home, we're going over 400. So I would say in Pittsburgh, offering 440, waiving anything that you feel comfortable with, especially inspections, which is something that I highly recommend not doing, but it's the nature of the beast. I have clients that are waiving appraisal gaps or waiving appraisals or doing an appraisal gap. I have people waiving their mortgage. So that's a big one here. I'm not sure if you guys are getting into this, but we're having very good conversations with our lenders to see if we can remove that. One of my lenders last year, I think out of 600 transactions that he did on the lending side, only one ended up defaulting for a mortgage. So it's highly unlikely they're not going to get a mortgage. So that's key.
So basically, are you saying no financing contingency, but then going to get financing?
Correct. And I'm a big relationship guy, even with other agents. So I tell them, hey, we're getting a mortgage. You're going to have an appraisal come through. We're simply waiving all that. Now, I think as an agent, you have to be very, very careful on your advice, right? So I tell them worst case scenario and what they're looking at. And then I summarize it in an email because I never want them to come back and say, hey, Joe, you didn't say this. Yeah. So, and we've done inspections for informational purposes. And I know by the time this gets out here, none of this is probably new. A couple of cool things that I can offer that I've done that maybe people haven't heard as agents, you know, I think we're paid extremely well. I really do. I think it's a great job, you know, and on a $400,000 home, I mean, we're going to make 10 grand plus, right? Why not take $500 of that, offer to have the home professionally cleaned for the seller, who's not even our client. We've done this. I've had my kid cut local grass from escrow, the whole escrow. You know, if they're out of town, if they're moving away, we'll cover the landscaping. But I've also, this worked out well, I'm pretty big into the charity stuff. And I found out that the seller had breast cancer and she was on the Susan G. Komen board, which is our local breast cancer awareness. So we decided to offer $500 of our commission to Susan G. Komen. And it turned out that the listing agent also had breast cancer survivors. So like it just, I mean, these two ladies are pretty much looking at our offer like, how in the world do we not take this offer? So little things like that. The simplest and the cheapest thing you can do is have a clean offer. Like you wouldn't believe the offers we see. They're a piece of shit. I mean, they're not put together well. They're missing information. They're missing addendums they have checked off. The agent's a jerk. So this all circles back to not being a jerk and then giving a well-presented offer. We have a cover sheet that summarizes our offer. We make it extremely easy for the agents. I make fun of our profession. It's literally the 20-80, if not the 10-90, right? 10% of us are making it all happen and the other 90% are just kind of following, you know, around. So 100%, yeah. You have a clean offer. You're not a jerk and you're doing everything you can, you're probably going to get some of those offers.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because this has come up on the show actually multiple times where people are like, write a clean offer. And yeah. Andrew and I are looking at each other and we're like, what the fuck does that even mean? Because to us, it's like,
what's a bad offer was our question. And we were like, that people like you have said, fill it in first. And we're like, oh, well, obviously we do that. And you go, you have no idea how many people don't fucking fill it in.
It's like, what do you mean you don't fill in the purchase price and you don't have, you know, line item 11 through 16 balance between your purchase price, your EMD deposits, the dates on the deposits, to the amount that you're financing, to the amount that you're bringing to the close, you know, cash to close to the table. To us, this is like a, you know, contract 101, but it seems like this is a repeated theme that like people just, agents just don't take the time and actually read through and listen. Like if it says parcel ID, put the fucking parcel ID. If it says legal description, fill in the legal description. Like to us, it's just like a no-brainer. But you're saying that you're getting offers and shit's missing. And that's...
Yep.
And that tells you what kind of an agent you're going to be dealing with. So if they can't write the offer, how are you? What are the next 3 to 4 or 5 weeks going to look like with you and trying to work with them as well, right?
I have deals right now where I'm chasing addendums like from people, and it's just simple things. And you know, people are struggling right now. And I think again, with the, it's a tough market, and some people shut down. So you know, my job is to get my seller from the closing table or from the start to the closing table. And we are basically partnering with these buyers and agents and everything, that their whole party, you know, for 30 plus days. So you going back to reputation and relationships, knowing that this agent has her shit together, or he has his shit together, or he can manage some of this chaotic psychological mess that these people are going through. You know, hey, go walk in this house for 10 minutes and decide and tell me if you want to spend $500,000. Sure. And then, you know, I call it, they come out of the ether, you know, the next 2 weeks, oh my God, you know, and then they get an inspection report and they're just like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? You need somebody that can actually manage and advise and control the situation. So, you know, if I get 12 offers on a property, we put them on a spreadsheet, we share that spreadsheet, Google Docs with my clients. And it's come down to the agent and how they operate a lot, way more than you would ever think.
Interesting. So how much weight does that take? So you would rather take a lesser offer, but you know the agent, you have the relationship, maybe not as favorable, but you know it's actually going to close, than somebody who's like coming in 60 G's over the asking price, you know?
I think, well, 60 G's is a stretch.
Yeah. So I doubt this gentleman's going to watch this because he's just a, I had somebody using another client, but I'm afraid we're friends. He called me for advice on this same thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, did you call your agent? And, you know, but basically he wanted to turn down a $30,000. This is a $200,000 property. So he had a 210 offer and a 230 offer. And the 230 offer he thought would never happen, ever happen. And it was an FHA buyer. And that's a tough buyer, right?
What? Why?
Well, usually they're, you know, the FHA. Yeah, I forgot we're educating here. So FHA buyers, they come with an FHA appraisal, and it's very strict and stringent on their requirements, right? So any cracked or peeling paint, any handrails missing. So it's a whole nother set of eyes past the inspection process. And I hate to say it, but typically those buyers are using almost every dime they have. So if something were to arise, an appraisal gap or something that the sellers don't want to cover, they more than likely don't have those funds. So, but what these people are trying to do, they're throwing a price out there to bamboozle is a word that I want to come back a little bit more, you know, to get these people all flustered and be like, 230, it's never going to happen. So my advice to him was take the 210, 20% conventional, which is still probably 10,000 more than I would expect to get for the home. So, you know, that's where, to answer your question about the agent relationship and how they operate, cash is king, right? If there's a number, the number's got to be there. You know, if you've got a great agent, but their offer stinks, well, they're out of the conversation, because our fiduciary responsibility is to get our people the most amount of money. However, our job sometimes is to advise them that the number that they see that is the highest may not be real, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, it makes, the thing is about, when you're doing these deals, like you said, it's like, okay, your responsibility is to make sure they get the most of the house. But when you take that sentence and you like dissect it, it's like, well, the first step of that is to make sure the money is actually there. You're able to get some money. Yeah. And then the second part is the money they deserve. So you can be a 230, but if that money's never fucking coming, you have failed. So
it could be 430. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and one quick point on that, just to circle back, you know, money is money, right? And 9 out of 10 people probably are going to kind of go for that. You know, they want to maximize their profit. Surprisingly, I would say even 10%, money is secondary. You know, it could be quality of life. It could be I want to move on this date, so I'm willing to give up some price. I want to stay an extra 60 days, or I want to, you know, take this chandelier, or I want to, you know, so for me, it's sitting down with the seller and listening what's important to them. And I've had very, very, very affluent folks that the money part was just going to happen for them, and an extra 10 grand meant nothing. It's just their quality of life through that escrow period. They wanted certainty of close, something we can never guarantee. However, that's where we as an agent can come in and add value, because we know that we're working with an agent on the other side that really knows what they're doing, and the probability of them getting to the closing table is pretty good.
It's interesting that you say that, right? Because sometimes it's not about the money. You have to figure out the reason why they're moving. So like Andrew and I, when we put together, you know, deals and offers, sometimes it is about, you know, the post-closing occupancy for 30, 60, or 90 days, right? Or so sometimes it is literally give me the highest and the best. But at some point, it is unreasonable because you know you're not going to be able to close the gap. You know, like I just had this happen where a property was going for 420. Yes, my guys are approved for 460, but it's an FHA. And there's no way in hell that property is appraising for 460. Like, there is no comps to support it. So can we pump the prices up a little bit and hope for the best? Sure. However, we also have to know when to walk away, I feel like, too, in order to do the due diligence and the fiduciary duty to our clients, instead of just giving them false hope of like, yeah, let's submit something 30, 40, 60K over ask. Hopefully it appraises. Yes, we have a 10, 15K appraisal gap, which you have to be fully aware that it is your responsibility to cover, because contractually you are bound. And if not, you will lose your deposit, because now the sellers are like, well, fuck you. You knew exactly what you were doing, you know, but at a certain point, you always have to know when to walk away, I feel like, at the same time.
Yeah. And just one quick point to that. I think people don't realize what they're doing, right? They're entering a contract, a very big contract. And, you know, I don't know how it is in your states, but in Pennsylvania, the buyer has, I believe, 11 ways out of a contract through inspections and all that's the contingencies. A seller has two or three. So connecting with a buyer and literally getting married to them for 30 days, 60, 90 days is very, very important. And on that note, if you're representing buyers, you know, we have a thing called a mortgage commitment here. And one of the ways that, you know, a seller can back out of a contract is if you don't supply that mortgage commitment by the date that's on our contract. And I know this is PA specific, so I'm not sure if any other states do this.
Same thing for Florida. You have like a 5-day to put in your loan application. Yep. And technically you are supposed to provide that it has been completed. Nine out of 10 times, most people don't. And then loan commitment is either, depending, if it's a 30-day close, it's either 21 days after the effective date, which means that you're not waiting until the very, very last day before closing. And that's actually a new law, a new regulation.
Interesting.
Because it used to be in a way where up until the very last day, you could have let it slide.
Well, I love it because it's more of an update, right? Because your sellers are sitting here waiting. And you know, just to finish my point on that, if you don't supply that as a buyer's agent, I had this happen almost one time. The seller, especially in this market, the seller may not want to move forward with you because there might be people knocking on their door to give you more money. And if you're a buyer's agent in Florida and Pennsylvania, at least, you don't supply that mortgage commitment. Ours is usually a week before closing, and it could be any date. That just defaults to a week. The seller can simply not sell you the property and keep your escrow hand money. So people overlook that. And that's where things get sloppy, you know? And the market's insane right now. And when people kind of like realize what's going on, and there's more and more people upset now than ever because they're not getting properties or whatever, you're going to see lawsuits. And I know Florida is very, very heavy on lawsuits, you know, disclosure, all that crazy stuff. So you really got to have your stuff together.
Because everybody and their mother and brother, sister, uncle has a real estate license, and none of them really practice it effectively.
Oh, yeah. What they're doing.
Well, one quick point on that. I'm so sorry. If good agents will pick up market share. This 100%. I'm going to pick up market share. That is my whole goal. Yep. My whole goal in the next year to two. This can happen for the next 2 years.
Yeah, the best agents for the last 2 years have crushed it as well. That's why so many have gone, oh, the market's really hard. And then other people have been like, it's my best 2 years I've ever had. It tells you a lot. You know, and that's not to say those people who struggle can't change it. Like, that's what our show is all about. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in gaining access to our course and coaching programs, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com.